You're the lover of my soul. You're the lover of my soul. You're the lover of my soul.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 Wow. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to know you. To be at your feet, Jesus, and see your feet. Thank you, Jesus. During worship last night, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give a message, lay hands on. I had a prophetic, very strong release, a very strong impartation for Jamie last night, among other things. But it was very particular when he spoke to me and he said, go over there, put your hands on her. And he gave me very clear words to say. And I was shaking very strongly. And in the, if she's able, in the microphone, Can you just give her the mic, Chris, and let her, while she's down there, she's got one down there, just share what God did for you, Jamie, or what he showed you at that moment, whatever you're comfortable sharing. This is what it's about, guys. Have encounters with the Lord and he shows up, so she'll share if she feels led. When he shows up right in front of us and talks to us and speaks to us and makes himself known, and we continue to connect with him that way, okay, beyond the pages of the Bible, not instead of, but beyond the pages of just reading, but then we read and we connect, then everything changes. Everything changes. So when we were out in the parking lot last night, about 3:30, really, or so, we were talking about how our part, my part in that, I had an idea that she was encountering Jesus. I didn't know that exactly what was happening, but I did. He did tell me, and I could see, and I knew in my spirit. So I was shaking, and then he sent me over, put my hand on her at that time, and that was part of her encounter. And what he's wanting us to be able to do, and he wants to train us up. It sounds like we salute and say, okay, Captain, and in essence we do, because of love. But when we're in the presence of the Lord and he's showing himself as commander in chief on all fronts, what else can we do other than respond? There's no, we don't have a choice. That choice is taken away, really, because we're so caught up into heaven. So I don't know if you're comfortable sharing anything. Okay.
It was when Daniel Kalinda was giving the gospel, and then afterwards, when people came into the kingdom, yay, Jesus, he was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just for more filling up. And as I was standing in the front, you know, I was just in faith. Maybe not all the feelings or the emotions were there, but my faith was, Lord, I just want more. I just want more. But then it became more than just that. Like, for me to be filled up with the Lord, it became more than just about me. And I just sat down and I saw the feet of Jesus in front of me, his nail-pierced feet. And I couldn't do anything. I just stretched my hands forth. What can you do when you're in the presence of Jesus and you see his nail-pierced feet? There's nothing else. There's just nothing else. I felt so insignificant at that point. I just felt like nothing. Like, my life is not about me. My life is not about me. It's about you. It's just about you, Lord. And as I laid down and I just began to weep before him in that encounter, you know, he said to me, he said, you know, following me, it's not going to be easy from this point on. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to have to make sacrifices. There's going to be a cost. But this is what you were born for, to be at my feet.
We Gentiles are called to provoke the Jews to jealousy. That's our call, to be so radically in love with Jesus that the Jewish people, the scripture says, will be caught up and brought into a place of revelation. So we provoke them to jealousy by who we become in him. Isn't that beautiful? And that's where we're going as a body. That's where we're going as the body of Christ. We've had events, we've had things, we've had opportunities, call it whatever you want to call it, gatherings, but we're still nearing the end. It's tonight of 24/7 prayer and worship. And when we put that on the calendar, we weren't realizing it was also the same time that Azusa Now was happening. Oh. And so here we were together, praise the Lord, not with 100,000 people, obviously, here, but still being able to encounter Jesus. The prophetess last night at the closing time spoke out some things that Rachel had caught on her cell because we had some problems with the computer again. But then a couple of things that we had said towards the end of the evening, at the end of the evening, were, this is the year of Jubilee. And it was spoken out before we had been spoken out at the conference or at the time at Azusa Now. And we've spoken it out here before. But if there's not revelation of what that looks like, it was spoken out in Brazil. It's been spoken here that this is on the Jewish calendar, the year of Jubilee, and this is the 70th Jubilee since Daniel 9. And that's a whole other area that I don't know if we'll have time to go into today, but we will. And it's a very significant and poignant time for the Lord to set his captives free on every front and release those who have been in any level of captivity, financial captivity, restorational, relational captivity, whatever it would be. And that was what the Lord was saying, that in the Jubilee year, in the 50th year, I'm coming in. This is not works. This is not something that you dismiss. This is what I do, and I've done it since the very beginning. And so here you go, Jewish people, and here you go, Gentiles grafted in. Do you understand, and will you take advantage of that? Will you understand what it means to walk and receive that? So we've mentioned it here. We've had some teaching here. We've had a level of revelation amongst us, I think, individually. Some of you have gone in and studied that more, and that's great. So we were talking about that yesterday, even before it came up on the screen, which was good. And we've been talking about it at home and all of these things, because we're in that year. You know, this is the Jewish calendar, not when the ball drops calendar. And so those who have revelation, it demands participation. That was something that was spoken at Azusa Now. And I don't remember who actually did that, but who spoke that. But that touched me. I wrote it down. Revelation demands participation. Revelation demands participation. When we have a revelation of whomever or whatever, it demands it. It's part of the actual description of what the word revelation means. You receive, ha, and then you are propelled. That's the way we're designed. You were propelled into going and serving and loving and doing all the things with and for Jesus. But if we don't have the revelation, we won't. We'll be attending meetings, or we'll take a look at our calendar, or we'll take a look at everything else but that first. And so revelation of where we stand with him will demand participation. And when we have that in order in our minds and in our thinkings, things change. So yesterday, well, let me back up to one more thing before I tell you about yesterday. Last night, when this prophetess was, which one was it was speaking? Oh, it was Cindy Jacobs, that's right. She was speaking about two things we had just spoken out here before we listened to her. One was again about the Jubilee year, I believe. And the other one was that she was speaking about that anyone who wasn't there, you know, there was a holy jealousy, I think, for anyone who did participate in Azusa Now here and really in heart and time put forth the effort and ability and all of that, the heartfelt connection, okay, to participate with what God was doing, that anyone who was part of that was receiving the same, whatever that was, if you could feel and connect in with the revelation that God was, and the anointing that God was releasing, that was also yours to be able to own. And so we were just talking about that with there were just a few left at three or so, and which is fine. But that we were discussing things, and that was the revelation at the moment that God was giving. So then Rachel Koblenz flipped on Cindy Jacobs, and she was saying the same things we had just said. I mean, just, it was really funny. It's like, God, you are so good. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask Jamie to share, is because we're going to share some things here that happened yesterday in the 15-hour time with Jesus, and what God was doing and explaining that, not as a report, as much as an invitation to encounter and ask God for revelation of a few of the things that you'll be able to see up here. And so I'm excited about that. And like the kids to stay and listen to this, because they were here, many of them, running around and having a field day yesterday. Like, this is my element. And that was really cool. We just turned the sound up louder. And they've been here for a lot of the prayer and worship times. And it's been great having visiting groups and teams in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we're just honored that people are saying yes to come. And I'm not sure if all of the ones who were here necessarily track with what we're going to show you in just a minute yet, but they will, because that's what God has. This was a gathering for his believers, for his body, for his children. Even in that, many got saved. And Daniel Kalenda, as Jamie was referring to, is the spiritual son of Reinhard Bonnke, very well-known international evangelist for over 40 years. And Daniel Kalenda is very, very strong and powerful and direct. And let me tell you, it's very refreshing. Someone's not mincing words at all. And one of his latest times, I'm not sure exactly the date, but recently he was in Nigeria and over 3 million people. And they showed the footage. And I just looked at it and my jaw dropped. Oh, it's like Jesus. It's a sea of people. And this is what he's got for us, guys. Heidi was preaching earlier this week in California, and she was preaching on Stop for the One. And I think we should turn that to Stop for Jesus. He's the one. I never thought of it before. She was preaching. I didn't hear the message. I just heard about it. But she was preaching, stop for the one in front of you, which we're to do. But if we're not stopping for the one who wants to stand in front of us and show us his feet, what? We'll blow up, we'll burn out, we'll fizzle, we'll leave, we'll not be able to carry what he wants to deposit. It won't happen. And that's one of the reasons that this Azusa Street significant time yesterday, 15 hours of it, was so poignant. And so I can send an email, I can make a plea, you know, and it can be dismissed, and it probably has been, you know, by some, and many maybe, I don't know. It's not my problem. And it's not, what we need to do is say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now? And you trump what I do, period. One thing that really touched me, and I didn't capture it quickly enough, was Lou Engle saying rather strongly, nicely, and it was first thing in the morning. I mean, to be here for 15 hours was just great. I just can't even tell you. And it was a day when I felt my dad needed a visit. The lady who takes care of him didn't show up. So I asked the Holy Spirit again, what do you think? I can just go over for an hour. And he spoke as clearly as Jamie saw Jesus' feet. And he said, stay where you are. It was a holy fear of God. It wasn't, I can't move, I'm not allowed. It was, God, you're telling me, stay right where you are. You are to be in this the whole time. That's what he spoke to me. He didn't speak that to you. He spoke it to me. So I asked him why? And not why do I have to be here, but why with these things? And it's what Jamie is saying. There is a cost. And if we don't put our priorities, which are family and work and ministry and all that, down and put it at his feet, we will not hear these kinds of things. My dad was okay during the day. It's probably harder on me. But he spoke that to me, and I thought, I don't understand. He wanted me to receive and participate. Receive and participate. That's to me personally. So I feel as though I was there. And so it wasn't that it was an event. It was that Jesus showed up because I had a vision of him, and I saw him over the whole stadium. And I saw the great cloud of witnesses on the left. I saw them. I saw it. And it just made me shake. It's like, what? So I couldn't. I needed to stay. And so because I had revelation, so therefore that demands participation. You see? It wasn't a mandate that you can't move, but it was trusting him that he knows better than I do. And that was another time in my life. I've had several of those. And so Cindy Jacobs also, we were just talking about that. I was just sharing the vision that I had and with this group. And she was also talking about that. Wow, perhaps Jesus was here and perhaps the great cloud of witnesses was here. Perhaps. And I'm thinking, perhaps? No, not perhaps. He was. Praise the Lord. But revelation demands participation. So many of you, let's just say all of us together, carry a very powerful anointing for Jesus as worshipers. And he's calling, let the worshipers arise. But what he wants to do is define what he says worship will look like. And I think we're trying to, all of us are trying to say, God, what's everything going to look like in this hour, 2016? What are you doing and where do I fit? Is anybody else there? What are you doing and where do I fit? And what am I supposed to do? Okay? And I think that's just the ongoing time. The question that we have, that Daniel Kalenda was talking about, let me just say this. He was talking about when people are saying, getting the gospel of Jesus, it was very powerful. We'll be listening to his message in Mission Training Weekend coming up. But when he was speaking about giving the gospel to the unsaved, to those who need the gospel, he's talking very, very specifically about why are you getting saved? What are you being saved from? What does that actually mean to you? And making that clear offering so that people will have an opportunity to respond wholeheartedly. So it's not, I'm just deciding, I guess I'll follow Jesus. No, it was, whoa. It was very thorough and very, very strong and good. But for us, he was brought, now this is the point, he was brought to the end, up at the very end. And at the very beginning, Lou Engle started everything and was going on through the entire time. But here's what the point was, a lot of the point is, and there are a lot of international people there, is that the Lord was saying there's going to be a recognition of marriage, okay, between evangelism, Daniel Kalenda, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and houses of prayer and intercession and fasting and praying, okay? For 16 years, Lou Engel has been driving, boom, boom, fasting and prayer and intercession. And there's been some evangelism that's come from that, okay? But what he's saying, thank you, sweetheart, but what he's saying in this hour, and we'll show some pictures of some things that are really cool, and Andy's getting them up for us, is that people are being stirred up now that there's been so much prayer and intercession. It's not ending, but God is saying, okay, I'm hearing, and I'm about to release this missionary evangelistic movement to a degree that we've been talking about here for 20 years, and we're going, and we're doing it. We're just this crazy little group right now, but and we've said, it's going to change. You're going to have the masses come in. Oh, okay. And you know, if we take that naturally and we don't listen with spiritual ears, we can get discouraged and say, yeah, whatever. That was 100,000 people there. But in this season, the Lord was saying through these leaders from the nation and around the world coming into this, it was really cool that God is now stirring things so that there will be this greater release. And the ones who've been experiencing this through prayer and intercession and fasting, which is where the enemy tries to kick us, because we can go on a mission trip, have a nice time, and do a few good things, but not be falling so deeply in love with Jesus that I'm willing to count the cost, pay the price, and I'm going to the ends of the earth. Okay? And so that's the, or could be, the danger of just going, yeah. Because they have to be married together. They have to be connected together. And it was very well pointed out that if we aren't actually physically going somewhere else, then we need to support and we need to pay for those who are. There is just no other way to look at it. And so, because Jesus is all about the world. And so it was so encouraging to me personally to be in something like this for this length of time with people who on the stage were radical for Jesus. I don't know their personal life, but what they were saying, what they were doing, and what they were standing for was all about Jesus. Everything was about Jesus, and what do we do with Jesus? So encouraged with worship this morning. Thank you, guys. And we have a lot of little people here who are growing up in this environment who need to see on fire aunts and uncles, on fire moms and dads, on fire brothers and sisters, on fire friends, on fire relatives in any other capacity, okay? On fire radical, I'm giving it my all. I'm giving my time, my money, my resources, and everything else, and I'm not going to raise my voice and say, please, I'm doing the best I can, stop it. No, they'll resist that voice and say, tell me, I want to learn, I want to receive, I want to hear. What are you saying? There must be something God is doing, because revelation demands participation. And if we don't have revelation of what God's releasing right now, we need to get on our faces and we need to say, God, I don't have revelation. It just seems like a nice event, you see? So God is calling us. We had one lady who came in here yesterday, goes to Bethel Akron, but she heard that we were opening our church all day. She heard that we would be here. She said she prayed, and maybe there are other churches in the region, I don't know. I really don't, but she said she looked, and there was no other place in the region, in this area, that was opening their church for something like this if people couldn't go. It's like, whoa, really? Come on. And that's what she said. And she made some prophetic statements about this place that resonated in my spirit. And we can either grab them or say, yeah, okay, that was nice. Let's go. Let's do another 24/7 prayer. We've got to change our thinking that we are in a flow that Jesus is so excited about for us, that we grab what he's doing in LA which is going out because of the technological advancements in our country, goes out all over the world. I mean, I'm texting Indonesia, I'm texting Brazil, I'm texting different places. Listen, you got to watch this. This is amazing. There are decrees, declarations. There's people from all over the world here. Do you see? Please take the time if you can. It's amazing. And so these are the areas that the Lord will challenge us in. And I'll tell you, I'm not a favorite person of a lot of people because I can't stop burning. And when you burn, people don't like it if they're not burning. And it's the truth. So we want to continue to burn, but it, you know, when we burn together, oh my goodness, there's nothing like it. Let's show some of these. Andy's going to put them up. And kids, you can watch this. And can you guys, Carl, can you bring those four pictures behind you down here? We're going to put them on. And I know some of you were watching at home, so praise the Lord for that. Thank God for that. I know that. So if you were able to make it, thank you. You were the ones who were able to receive. Or you were at work and you couldn't, that's, you know, I'm not talking about that. Just saying that if you were able to be in a corporate environment here, there's something about the corporateness of gathering that God wants us to understand and really grab. It's not about us. It's more comfortable to sit home on the couch and have a cup of tea than to come out here on a snowy day. Okay, if there's another reason that is, you know, not dealing with our own personal comfort, really, that's a different area. But God's challenging our comfort. One of the pictures I think we have is of Ben Atkinson, who took his little son to this thing, and he said, wow, my son was out in the rain, and he was cold all day long. What a little intercessor. You know, think he's bragging? He's not bragging. He's just saying, wow, God, look what you're doing with the kids, the youth. So when we pull these up, I just wanted to draw attention for those of you who haven't seen. Oh, there's the one with Ben and his son. Look at that. Okay, we want to look at something like that and say, I want my kids to see that their comfort doesn't rule. I want my kids to learn that their comfort doesn't rule. Okay? Because it's just going to be something we got to think of. Can you put that back up for a second? I don't know this little guy. Does he look like a little Ben? Isn't he a cutie pie? Is that to make us feel bad? No. It's to stoke us, to stir us, to provoke us, to say, come on, I've got charge of my little kids, and I love them. But it's not about their comfort alone. It's really not. And so this little boy has been raised up to see that, you know, there's a cost to pay. There's a price to pay for this kind of radical living. And he's been doing it before he got there. That's the point. So when he went, it was just like, wow, there's a bunch more people here, Dad, doing what we already do. And that's what we're trying to cultivate in this place, is the environment in the Lord. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is your norm, everybody, because this is Jesus. Not that we're trying to be like someone else. So let me just draw your attention to these. These were painted. Who did this? Mike and Peter, right? Peter, you did these? Lettering. The lettering. Who did the rest? Mike? Andy? Sorry, guys. So long ago. It was back when the church, when we first started the church, and we had them on the walls, two over here and two over here. And then we rejuvenated the place and went to pictures. And these were in the back during 24/7 prayer, which, again, we're having tonight. So we're ending with a big shebang at 7, I guess. So it's the end. So come if you can. It would be great. But this is what the Lord gave us, and it was just, they were in the back for people to look at and dance around and pray. And yesterday when I was here, it's like, oh, they have to come up front. My goodness, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the bridegroom, he says, I am. This is who I am. And there are different languages, okay, that are also stenciled or whatever you call it, painted on there. And it was just really, those are really very precious things to me personally. We're going to put them somewhere, whether it's there or out there. We're going to do something because they're just too precious to put somewhere else. But it was just very, very poignant that the Lord is saying, please take a look at this. And remember, this is about me completely. It's not about your job. It's not about your kid's soccer game. It's just not. And it's nothing wrong with that. But it's just not. Jesus has got to be really first, and we've got to be able to see, I don't even know how to say it, to put the English words in what the true balance is. The word balance, I don't even like it, but it's really going to be a radical, radical thing that we invite our children to come into, because this is how we roll. But we don't roll anyway if we're not that way ourselves. Then it just becomes, well, there's weirdos again. No, this is Jesus. I want to get on my face before you. It's not because Jamie said it. That was just an example. But this is what I want. And you guys have been trained up, many of you, to go to the nations. And who do you think is going to take people and train them, et cetera, when they start piling in here? When they start, because God's in charge, not because we're doing so slick. It's not because we have the greatest programs or anything. But there's already experience in here. Experience and intimacy, and also on the ground and in the air, okay? That's what the Lord says. So people are going to come, they're going to be drawn because of that, because of what Jesus is doing, because of what he's saying. Hey, because of the shift that's taking place, the shift in the spirit that he's been preparing us for, okay? When I went to another revival, Lakeland Revival, down in Florida a number of years ago, 2008, I believe. At that time, there was a fiery evangelist who surrounded me when we went up for prayer. He didn't know anything about me. They called for pastors and leaders to come up. So I went up there, and he says, I just see fire all around your building. I just see it. There's just great fire. There's something big coming to your building. So I could either say, wow, that's really cool, as people walk out the door, or I could say, thank you, Jesus, that you are no respecter of persons, and what's going to happen will happen as we get the revelation and we participate. So we have to do that. And it's not after we're dead and gone. It's now. It's in this season. God is saying, will you pay attention to what I'm doing in this season and grab onto it? And a few and the mighty get together and things will change. So we spend the last 3 years talking about lots of these things and just going, yes, Jesus, and then trying to get past wounds and hurts and all this kind of stuff. Well, yesterday there was a big call to get over things and forgive people. It was so strong. It was so anointed. It was like, whoa, masses of people are forgiving one another. Masses of people are just absolutely loosing themselves of any bitterness, offense, anything that couldn't be hidden. There was such a fear of God that all you wanted to do was say, God, there's got to be somebody. There's got to be someone somewhere, and I've got to make things right. I've got to do it. I can't hold back anymore and just dance my way and go la, la, la. I've got to do that. And that was at the beginning, not at the end. And that was even before salvation. I was like, that's weird. But it's not, because people actually got saved. There was a lot of spiritual activity going on, and there was this major balance of intense worship, as we know worship to be, and the release of the Word of God. Loved it. It's like, yes! My sister was able to be there. She lives in California, and she said, I felt like I was worshiping in heaven all day as they stayed out in the rain. Nobody cared. Nobody moved. And you know what? If people started to move, they told them, they said, stay here and don't go. Try that in northeastern Ohio. Okay? Get a few people getting their stuff in an uproar and walking out. Okay? I'm saying to you, the Lord had a very strong, loving, stay where you are. Don't go. The enemy will torment. The enemy will do anything to get us off our game, because he knows what's coming. And he's saying, listen to the ones, listen to the anointed ones, listen to the mamas and papas. There are a lot of them. Listen, don't dismiss them. Okay, and they're right here in your midst as well as over in LA. So it's not, you better pay attention. That's not what I mean. I'm saying, listen to when the anointing comes and something's released, grab it and go, yeah, okay, man, I want revelation for participation, so I can be in this. Stadium events are coming. This was the first of many. There are 9 stadiums that have already been spoken for. 9. I don't know where they are. I hope one's in Cleveland. Maybe it's in Akron. I don't know. But we're going to be, yeah. I'm telling you, we're following up and we're going after this. I mean, this is who we are. And we were born for such a time as this. And the cost is going to be strong because Jesus said so. Ha! That's okay with me. How about you? Shay, this is good. But he's calling for the stirring for, he's calling us to say, I've got to be seen in heaven as one of your intercessors. I got to be seen in heaven as one of your worshipers. Seen in heaven as someone who fasts and prays. I can't just forget that. Say, well, they did that for 16 years. That's too hard for me. I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. So Jesus has the plan, and we're giving more and more of a call to jump in to that which actually we had flown pretty well when we first started this. But God is saying, please, if you don't want to burn out and you want to go the rest of the gamut, you want to go and say, here I am, send me. And then a year later, you're out fishing on the dock going, well, God just told me to rest and do nothing for 20 years. Like, I don't think so. And God is challenging us. So we have to be wise, wise, wise stewards of everything that's released. So let's show a couple videos now, Andy. Kids need to see the video. You can turn the lights off, you guys. We just have a few little clips. And this is to stir us, not to just report a little moment. We have a bunch of these little clips, so he's going to show another one. We have some clips and pictures just to kind of get a feel for this. Yes, they have long hair and electric guitars. Can flip to another one. Yeah, there's a couple still pictures we have. A lot of people that have been here at Frontline were able to be in attendance there, which was awesome. Mel was on stage too. Heidi was going to speak, I think, but she only, she hasn't been here. We've been there. But she prophesied a lot, and there were a lot of healings. Supernatural, divine, oh my gosh, I couldn't hear, now I can. And then Mary, where are you, Mary? You here? She go? She left? Mary was here, and when they called for ears to be healed, she was, I don't know if it was 100% hearing loss, 100%? Most, okay, a lot of hearing loss, but anyway, she heard her ear pop, and she could hear. Just sitting here, just being in this environment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Can you put another one up, a different one, guys? Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus. You can, thanks, Andy, you can put the next one up. It's just to draw us into something bigger beyond what we can see in front of us, but not minimizing what we can see in front of us. There's a connection there. Did you guys hear that? Let me say it again. To lift us up to see that Jesus is gathering people, which is bigger than what we see here, but not to minimize what we see here and who we see here. Because the same Jesus that was in that stadium was here yesterday. The same Jesus. Really. If we believe that, then we will do whatever it takes to listen to what he's saying and doing. It's really significant right now. This was historic. This was epic. It really was. It's the first time. This is not just a celebration of 1906 when Azusa Street broke out in that season. It was way beyond that. Okay? This was to launch into the next place, the next realm. And those who have revelation, it demands participation. If you've got revelation of this with missions, it demands your participation. It just does. A lot of these people don't have revelation of that until last night. And you'll see a couple pictures. Go ahead, Andy. Here's a picture of Lou Engel praying with some of the leaders, and Mel's right there. And I sent that to him. You know, he gives big thumbs up and fireworks and everything. So Mel's coming in the fall. It was just really, really awesome. So you can keep going. And this is where a lot of the leaders on the stage gathered around a man who carries a cross around the world, and they were just praying about that. So it was very significant to watch it. It's just a picture. But it's the idea that people are rallying around the cross of Christ and saying, okay, Jesus, I want to participate in this. We want to see our businesses explode. We want us to be so filled up that we're going out into our businesses and we're making a difference, and people are going to start because of the anointing, not because we're so smooth, okay? But because of the anointing, people are going to be drawn to the message inside of us, and things are going to happen in our schools, in our whatever realm that we're working in. The Lord is saying, if you are lit on fire in a new way from what he's done, corporately, he's done, not because of an event, okay, change your thinking, then there will be a change. We can expect it. That's what we heard the entire 15 hours. Everyone was just like, whoa, the power and presence of God was so strong. The Lord was saying, yes, this is me, whether you physically got there or not. And I think you know where I would like to have been in some ways, huh? However, 24/7 prayer is important, and here I was, so praise the Lord. But I feel like I was there, because I was glued to it. That's me. Okay, there's Rick. My sister texts me. She's in the bleachers, and she says, who is this guy? Oh my gosh, and he's singing what we have had sung in this church. Okay, he's singing out, and God is, you know, he's singing out about the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And 100,000 people are completely wrecked. Like, never heard this before. Who is this guy? And I said, hey, he'll be here September 9th. Want to come? But the idea is to draw in, change mindsets. And we can do that. We need to do that. We are the ones. And we heard plenty of people say that it isn't going to happen unless the radical one inside of us feels the freedom to get out so that we can go and pull. Things will change. Start praying over FedEx even more. You already do. Start praying over Perry High School, Perry Junior, Perry Elementary, whatever. Start praying over Malone. Wherever it is, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, pray. But pray now. Increase it, because now there's been a power that's been released, a heavenly anointing that's been released that hadn't been released before. That's the point. And I have to say it, to declare it, to decree it. Some of us have received that, and some of us haven't. Today we can receive it by hearing it and being in worship today and going, whoa, maybe I didn't know, missed something, or whatever the deal is. But God's saying, receive that. Well, I wasn't there. Receive it. You can receive it today. You can receive that. Lord, You're changing my thinking because I'm letting you. I'm giving you this. You're being stirred up right now because I want to be in with everything that you're doing, and I want to be part of it, and I want to see it move forward, and I want to see it explode, okay? And if that's our mindset, we're going to be willing to not get mad at the pastor who says that, okay? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying anything that would rise up to stop receiving this message, anything that rises up, boot it. No, I want revelation. I want stronger anointing. Maybe I can teach. Maybe I can preach. And maybe I can sing. But there is an anointing beyond where we are. There's an anointing for increase. And that's what happened. And that's what God's saying. I'd like to get these 15 hours. I don't know if they're selling them. But that's what I'd like. Because it was so, so important in the history for the body of Christ. Very, very important. Extremely important. So, hello. Okay, this is a message that Dutch Sheet, after Dutch Sheet gave this message to the crowds, these girls ran across the stage with a flag. And Dutch Sheets has been in this area, and we've seen Dutch Sheets and his brother Tim down in Cincinnati. We've been down there, and we started our 24/7 prayer, if you remember, with, I forget the name of it now, yes, Ohio Reformation Prayer Network, which we're still officially part of, and I think they've changed the name. But we used to participate a little bit more directly with that. It's changed. It's morphed into something different. So Dutch Sheets was speaking, and he gave a really good message, which I've heard before, and he does have a teaching out on this, but it was very powerful, and we also taped that. We taped that and Daniel Kalenda's message, and we'll be sharing those even more because they're for such a time as this, and we want to increase in revelation. Who wants to increase in greater revelation? I can't give it. All I can do is repeat what I'm hearing inside, and then we receive it. Revelation comes, we receive it. And then we grow from that, and then we can't help but participate. We will change our schedules. We will do things differently. We'll examine things. We'll take a look. We were given a call yesterday. How many of you want to change the way you do things? I'm telling you, it's funny, Lou Engel yesterday, and I didn't get this on tape. I was looking for my phone to get it, but he said, stop what you're doing. This is the very beginning. He says, put your busyness down, put your ministry down, and put other things down, and pay attention. It's like, we are, but wow. But he was a Papa General in a good way, and he was saying, in the fear of the Lord, in the presence of God, God is here, it's what he's doing, and he couldn't help but challenge that way. And that was good. So God put him in that role to do that. Now we can either go, doesn't he know I have a soccer game? You know, I'm not saying it. Maybe you didn't. I'm not talking about soccer. We go to soccer games for our grandsons. So not talking about that. Just saying in our mind, no, this is what I do. This is how I do it. This is my life. This is my schedule. This is my family, and it works, and I'm comfortable, and this is what's going to happen. It's not that comfortable. I pay a little bit of a price, but God's saying, I want to wreck you with a changed mind. I want to, and you, we can go to the Lord ourselves and take a challenge without resisting. If there's resistance in us in this season with all that's been given to us, all that's been given for the 20 years, and some of you haven't been here that long. That's what the Lord is saying. No, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. This is for your good. Jamie had this experience for her good when Jesus said to her, there's a cost to pay. She doesn't, I've had that, I understand that, and I heard that. It was many, many years ago. And it was for many of the things that I'm involved with myself right now. And I was going, yes, Jesus, I want you, Jesus. And he said the same thing, similar. And it shook me. It's like, what else can you do when the king releases himself that way? But we have to seek him. We have to seek him differently. And we have to be willing to do that. And listen to someone who might say something different than what your experience is. If somebody says something, someone in here, let's say, a friend, a brother or sister, not even a pastor necessarily, and they say something to you, take it to the Lord and go, Lord, what is that? Are you speaking to me? instead of, no, this is what I think, this is what I do, how I've always done it. That's what's going to shift in this season. Really. And it's not my idea. That's why I can give it. Because it's good. It's not my idea. Okay, let's see the next one. Are you guys getting this? Is this fun? It's fun. You like this? Good. Okay. Was that, how about that one? No, this is video, right? Okay. Can you show that one? Thanks. Is that awesome? That's my sister. That's Auntie Anne. She was there. Oh. Come on, Jesus. Wow, that's amazing. This one. Come on. Look at that. Look at that. Cool. Is that awesome? Is that the last one, Annie? Is that the last one? That's it? Okay. Oh, Kalenda, is that on my Facebook? Oh, good, I put it on. Okay.
He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He didn't just say he saved. He said he saved from something. But what did he say? Did he say?
Is that amazing? Mm-hmm. The Lord's stirring up our gifts. Oh, I would never stand in front of a crowd of 100,000. You're probably right. Make it 1,000,000. Does that stir you up? Do you have to have that? No. But if it's burning in you, I'm a burning one. Okay? God, whoa! Oh my goodness, I'm going to go study, let me think, banking. And so I'm going to be in America, and I'm not going to do those things so I don't fit in. That's a stinking lie, because each one of us has this roar on the inside, and if we aren't there, we need to fund it. Do you see? It's a mindset of marrying these two extremes that aren't extremes. But this is what we've been, if you look at our website, which is changing, you'll hear more later, we have on there House of Prayer and Mission Base. I was laughing about that yesterday, listening to these people. Andy, where's the one with the shoes? Isn't that in there? Oh, they showed it. I didn't turn around. Do you know what that was? You guys, everybody took off a shoe and held it up. I'll go wherever you send me. Do you know how many times I've heard that? Even in here. And then, well, I don't know, it might cost too much money, and I'm not sure if this is really the time, and I really don't know. And it's kind of like, okay, if that's Holy Spirit really driving that, then cool. But if that's you and not reorganizing your priorities and saying, God, I heard that, you're going to make a way, okay, then need to change. Because God's raising the faith bar. I don't give people faith, and I don't heal people. Jesus says in the Bible, go cure them. But he's saying, I'm the healer, hello. You're just a vessel, but you're a major player, each one of us, so we're majorly anointed. That's so good. If you know Jesus, you can pray for healing. Come on, it's that simple. Really, really is. Amen to that. Where to go? So I was, this morning I was saying, God, I want to show these things, and I don't know, God, we weren't physically there. We were there in the spirit, and some of us didn't have any knowledge of it or weren't able or whatever to participate yesterday. So how do you do that? Here we are in Ohio. It's snowing out. We're not in a raw stadium. Rah! So what's that look like? What do we do? And I think God is saying that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever here in Jackson Township. And that things can change for us, increase for us. If we have a mindset of, oh, I'm never doing it right, you know, there's always something I need to do to change, just get on your face before the Lord and repent of that. That would be really the best thing to do for any of us, me included. Just get over that. Because that's not where we are. We're all together as a family, and we're all together going forward. And it's just really time. It's really time to change some of the things that we were thinking and feeling for whoever that's for. It's for me first, believe me, I cannot say these things to you without being gripped in my own heart, really. And there are people who don't have this heart and mindset around this area, around this region, or they've had it and they've lost it. But you know what? It's up to us to pray, intercede, fall in love, become crazy, crazier, crazier, and radically in love with Jesus. And then watch God shift that in our family and friends in this area. Because if we claim this territory for him, we're going to have people from all over the country coming here. That's what he showed us. That's what he's already told us. And it's not here yet. But we have to have eyes to see. If we have the revelation of it, it demands participation. If you had a boss saying that to you, here's what you need to do, you would do it to get your pay and to do a good job. Well, you've got the commander-in-chief of the universe, okay? It's not me. And he's saying, revelation demands participation. That was an anointed word. And it's not saying that we don't do any. And we don't want to hear a message of, I need to do more. It's not, I need to do more. It's, Jesus, oh my gosh, you're stirring me. It's for me, it's for me, it's for me, it's for me. Me. And all my little kiddos and future kiddos and grandkiddos and all that. Now, I'll probably be the topic of lunch a little bit today with either, wow, that's awesome, or she's really annoying. I hope it's, wow, that was awesome. I kind of hope that. You know, that's always nice. But irregardless, I love you. So, yeah. I asked Lawrence to share something from his heart. I don't know what it's going to be. I asked him to speak a little bit on generosity, and then he's going to speak about something that's coming up next week. So I don't know what exactly he's going to say, but I know it's going to be anointed because he shares that with Jesus and says, help. So, amen. So we'll see you tonight after he's finished.
Amen. Okay. So I was asked actually to share a few weeks ago about this topic, and then, you know, things shifted and I was flexible. And then I was asked again about this morning, and I thought it was really appropriate in lieu of everything that we experienced yesterday and everything that we're seeing poured out in the nations. And the idea of generosity, the Lord was highlighting a couple things to me. But I think the thing that he's speaking to me the most about right now is what I just heard from Jamie. And the thing that the Lord keeps speaking to me about is the idea is that there's no, you know, what does generosity look like for me? And as if we look at it in the context of who Christ is and what he's done, there's no sacrifice that I can make greater than the one he's made for me. And so if I choose to take the challenge of what we've heard this morning and take the challenge of everything that I saw happening last night, and I put it into that context of recognizing that there is no sacrifice that I can make greater than the one that's already been made for me. That it's not just that we have this example like ambiguously floating out there, but it's the idea that sacrifice was made for me. It was made for each one of us. So we were reading the kids from a devotional that we have for them this morning, and it was talking about trusting in God in all things, in big and small. In this devotional thing, it's read from the perspective of God speaking to the children. And he says, you can trust me with everything in your life. And, you know, from the really big things, everything going on in your life, to the really tiniest, smallest things. And I never really thought about it from this perspective, but he says, but in the devotional, it says, after all, I created Mount Everest, and I created the tiniest individual piece of sand. And it's just that idea that God, in this infinite, huge, vast creation, that he's aware of the smallest, tiniest little thing. And so I'm thinking about, like, what does this look like for me? And it's one of those things, like Pastor Murray Pat said at the end, you're either going to be saying you loved it and rah rah great, or you're gonna say that was really annoying. There's this constant battle that goes on between your spirit catching on to what the Lord's doing and releasing, and this like this challenge that's sharpening you and saying, yes, like I see this, I'm grabbing on to this, and I want more of this. And now how many of you guys at some point, either here or at home or somewhere, saw or heard or experienced something from Azusa Now? Like in some form or fashion, how many of you guys saw something amazing in that? Now, how many of you guys recognize that there is incredible sacrifice sewn into that in order to make that happen? Can you just keep raising your hands. Just all right. We're gonna make this active in participation. You know, the idea that in our radical giving, we're simply giving to the one that we can't outgive. We're simply sowing into the one that wants to bless us more than we can sow into him. So there's this level of return and outpouring that we get. And so the Lord's been challenging me a lot, and I want to touch base on something that Pastor Bill has heard from the Lord and kind of felt a charge to do for next week. But, you know, it's the idea that you know, Jamie's voice is echoing in my head, and it's just, like, what can you do at that point? Once you see and experience the presence of the King, how many of you guys have had an encounter, like, where you're face-to-face with the Lord? Or how many of you guys have had an amazing, incredible, life-changing encounter? That was one moment with the Lord. One encounter with his presence, and how many of you guys felt like your perspective was completely changed? Completely. I'm going back through a couple of encounters that I've had, and it just shifts and changes everything. And so there's something to be said about what it looks like to encounter the one that we're sowing into. And you know, we saw everything happening last night and experienced all of that and everything that looked like. And I want, like, my heart's desire is for more of that. It longs for something to break through into a greater encounter. And so we're at this precipice in time where we're seeing everything that the Lord did at Azusa now, and we're hearing these calls and these challenges going out, saying, you know, what are you going to do to partner with the anointing that's being released to see the kingdom of heaven released on earth? And oftentimes I get to this place where you see that stuff happening, and then all of a sudden you've grabbed onto the anointing and you're excited, but what does that look like for me? And that's always the place, not always, but a lot of times that's the place where I kind of start stutter stepping and getting stuck. Where it's kind of like I want to do something and I don't know what that looks like. And obviously we heard from Pastor Mary Pat and everything that Jamie shared, and I'm shifting with children here. That there's something inside of us that wants more of that, that has that desire to sow into and to participate in that. And the challenge that the Lord keeps putting forth, and the one that I want to lay before you guys, is the idea of generosity. A lot of times we look at it strictly through the context of financial generosity, which is huge, which is a very large aspect of what the Lord calls us to. But the other part of generosity is just recognizing every gift and every talent that we have set before us, that the Lord's given us, to sow into whatever he's put before us. So with that, hang on, sweetie, one second. There's an opportunity here, which is what I really enjoyed. My partner here is going to help. Joseph, grab that top sheet right there. There you go. Okay, we're going to get some helpers here. You're going to hold that. Actually, hold the one that can't rip. There you go. See? I'm learning. You hold that. Okay. Do I have another helper? Okay. That one can't rip either. Good. How can you say no to these adorable children? So, there's an opportunity that we have to recognize what it looks like to operate in generosity and to flow in that. And so Pastor Bill has heard from the Lord, and I want to read the part of this paragraph, and you guys have heard about some of this, about a very super anointed team leaving for India in a couple of weeks. Pastor Bill's been praying, and I want to read one thing about this tri-trashathon. You guys got to hold it out so other people. But I believe that this is really the heart of what the Lord is calling us to in this time. It says, in order to highlight the critical role of world missions and to fund the strategic outreach to India that will transform the eternal destinies of individuals and families, villages and regions and generations from idol worship to worshiping the true King, I am presenting myself as an April Fool for Christ by participating in a tri-trashathon. Now, I can give like scriptures and we can talk through passages, but how many of you guys know that revelation oftentimes can come from little children? So we were looking at this earlier, and I was looking at this, and Joseph's question was, why is Pastor Bill the one holding the trash? And I said, well, he wants to make people aware of everything that the Lord is wanting to do in India. And he said, well, why aren't you the one holding the trash? It's less funny from my perspective, but you get the point. You know, it's the idea that we hear about sacrifice, we hear about making a fool for ourselves for Christ, and we hear messages about dying to self. And the reality is, those are all true and very good. But the thing that I think is amazing is that right now our leadership is actually stepping into it and not just giving a message, but demonstrating what that looks like. And before he challenged me, you know, we had already made that commitment to participate in this. In fact, I don't even, are you guys aware that you're helping? Yeah, are you excited? You know, the idea that it goes beyond just raising support, but we want people to understand around here what we're doing. We want people to see the impact of what it looks like to walk with the Lord and to demonstrate genuine true, real generosity. So with the Tri-Trashathon, Pastor Bill is doing this, and I know some of you guys have kind of picked up that challenge and that call, and we're going to participate in it too. You all right? Okay. Why don't you guys just sit here for a second? Just sit down. We'll just sit down. There we go. Look, we'll make it a whole family event here. You can even hold that. Good job. Good job. You know, it's the idea that what we're sowing into is not just something happening here at the church, but there's actually something that's always been one of my challenges that I felt in my heart is the idea of I want to do something, I just don't know what that looks like. Have you guys ever felt that? Have you guys ever like, oh, I want people to be made aware of what's happening. I want people to see what it is. But we have something before us right now that gives us an opportunity to sow generously into the things of the Spirit. And I know that we've all heard and seen testimonies, and people here, like I know many of you guys have experienced testimonies of what it looks like for God to bless and to touch something that you're sowing into. How many of you guys have experienced that, where you've seen God bless and just touch something that you've sown into? Raise your hand high if you've experienced an outpouring of God touching something that you've sown into. So just as a testimony, I want everybody to see that. Look around, look at the hands. Like God will bless the heart, the generous heart that sows into the things that he's doing. Amen? So there is nothing that you can sow into in the kingdom that's going to come back to you void. There's nothing that you can sow into in his heart that he's not going to bless you with and touch you with. And so in this, we have, Joseph's going to hand these out. You want to hand some of these out, buddy? No. He's not going to hand these out. You want to hand these out? You want to hand yours out? Does anybody want to hand these out? I got one. Man, we're going to work on that. Do you want to hand that out, Belle? Go ahead. So what this is, this is a pledge sheet, and this gives you an opportunity. This goes beyond just, you know, hey, do you want to give me money? This is to make people aware of what the Lord's doing here as well as in India. So we have an opportunity for people to make pledges and to sow into and to bless so that they can receive the blessing of what happens when you sow into something. So this is a pledge sheet, and I believe it's explained in the other sheet that's being passed out. So what happens is you pledge based on the time. So Pastor Bill and anybody who's going to participate is running for 1 hour without stopping, if I'm understanding correctly. I was all excited. I was like, hey, I'm going to run with you, because I thought he was, like, I saw the one, and I'm thinking, like, 1 mile. I was like, yeah. And he's like, no, I'm running 1 hour. And then I was like, yeah. Big difference. The 6-year-old that ran the 5K. Anybody else feeling lazy now? So it's in the genes. It's already there. It's in the blood. You got that. But this is an opportunity just to sow into it, but also to make other people aware of everything that the Lord's doing. Because how many of you guys understand that God's heavenly principles, they work on everybody? So everything that you've sown into and you've seen God bless, as other people sow into those things, you're opening the door for them to experience blessings, whether they know the Lord or not. You guys understand that principle? And here, give me a big, so I know you're still listening and not just caught up with the cute kids passing around papers. the idea that you have an opportunity to have somebody else be blessed by them sowing into what we're doing here. Like that unlocks, I can share a couple of testimonies about opportunities that I've shared with my dad to sow into things. And as he's sown into things, he comes back with some of the weirdest, craziest stories about how he got, you know, some random money here or something opened the door that he wasn't expecting. And there are creative ways that God wants to bless people. Man, we're in process. Who gave him that? Oh, was it me? Sorry. So we're blessing in Jesus' name. My family is awesome. And so if you guys look outside real quick, you'll see that now is the perfect time to participate with an outdoor run, a 3-hour trash pickup, and how long is the bike ride? An hour bike. So I asked Pastor Bill earlier, I said, so is this like, I don't see anything where it says weather contingent or, is it? Okay, it's calling for a good forecast. Awesome. And even if it's not, there's a sacrifice being made here. And I believe it's Saturday no matter what. Amen, right? Dress in layers. You can figure that out. So, that's the simple example of what we have an opportunity to participate in as a body and to make people around the community aware of. But I think the bigger picture that the Lord is challenging all of us on is what do I have that the Lord's calling me to sow into? Where is he calling me to step out in faith and to trust him in greater levels? And what gifts has he given me, whether it be my skills, my abilities, my time, my finances, to sow into and to offer the Lord something so that he can use it to multiply and to bless others around us? So there are things that the Lord is calling us to step into in areas that we can see blessings flow, not only in your own lives, but into the lives of every person that you're bringing the attention to. Because he's going to open the doors, he's going to release it. So who knows two of my favorite Bible verses? Anybody? Okay. Ephesians 3:20, which is able to do, I can't quote the Amplified. I really should. I'll read it. I could eventually learn it. Anybody know my other one? One of my other favorite, I have a lot, but Malachi 3:10. So I'll read these two in the Amplified if my Bible works here. And these are probably not the best life verses if you want to live a life of comfort based on my experience. Because every time I read it, I'm like, ugh. Okay. Ephesians 3:20. Where's my actual Bible? These phones. Is it? Okay, Ephesians 3:20 says in the NASB, it says, God is able to do, who knows it, exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, or imagine. Okay, so here's the Amplified. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And then 21 says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then Malachi 3:10 in the Amplified. I don't know if I've read the Amplified. It says, bring all the tithe, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing. I lost my place. No, I didn't. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The idea of what we sow into will return something that goes so far beyond anything that we could ever think or imagine. You know, how encouraged are we if we just start with the premise that God's desire is to bless me more than anything I could sow into him? What are you willing to give at that point? What are you willing to offer to the Lord if you know that his desire is to give you more than you could ever think or imagine? So he's calling us to continuously, you know, there's this, you know, I was in the middle of a ministry opportunity recently where, you know, we were just kind of highlighting the idea that everything with the Lord is a continuous flow. You know, David says, morning by morning, new mercies I seek. We talk about, you know, going before the Lord continually. He identifies himself as a river that's continually flowing. Like the idea that there's this just continuous flow. So here's what I want to end with tonight. I don't know what time it is. Today, this afternoon. Okay. The idea that we are challenged and called by God to continuously go before him and offer him everything, which is scary unless you know the heart of the Father. But as we learn and grow in the heart of the Father, we realize that as we offer everything, he returns it more than we can think or imagine. So take these sheets out. Make people aware of what the Lord's doing. Give other people an opportunity to sow into that and to see how God will bless them and open doors in heavens. And continue to go before the Lord in that place of continually flowing with the Holy Spirit and seeing what you can offer and see how he responds to that. Amen? Amen.
So last week when I shared, it was about the rich young ruler and the widow. With the rich young ruler, he was breaking open his nest egg. There may be some here that you have a nest egg. And, you know, you'll have to go before the Lord and talk to him about, is this the time I break open into the nest egg? There are those that don't have anything like that. You're the widow, that's many of us. And we have the two mites to put in. So you say, well, I can support, you know, that $25, I can do it. That's my two mites. I would challenge you that the widow is the one that can go out and get other people involved. She caught the heart of Jesus. He saw her as she gave her gift. And that's where you become fools along with me. You know, I might be out there, and I plan to not try to be discreet. You know, wear something, do something that's not necessarily discreet in the park to raise attention not to myself, but we have a lack of the desire to do what Jesus wants in this area, not in this place. It's in this area, and it needs to be broken through. Now, we could come up with a tremendous gospel campaign that, you know, may be ignored, or it may not be ignored. We don't know what it would be like, and God may call us to do that right in the middle of Jackson at some point. But it often starts with some small move, a baby in a manger, didn't look like everything that we, you know, saw up on the screen, an explosion of the glory of God. It was quiet. It was seemingly insignificant. Why not just send Jesus down fully formed as a man? You know, and he just shows up. And they go, where'd this guy come from? He has no history. We can't find anything on his background. He just showed up. He just came from heaven, he said, and he landed on earth. But no, they started with a baby, something small, the two mites. He started as a baby, weak. This is a weak effort to go out and do something like this, the tri-trashathon. It sounds weak. And that is what I'm trusting that will draw God's heart. His heart is drawn to our, you know, ability just to step out in smallness, step out in weakness. And he comes and fills it with the power. He comes and fills it with supporting it. That's what I'm trusting in. So the same for you. You might feel weak to go, you say, who would I tell this about? How would I do this? If it makes you feel any better to call it a contest, I can offer prizes. I probably, you know, will think of something to offer as a prize. You can tell them it's a contest. It's fine with me. Whatever makes you feel a little bit better about doing it. But I'm saying if you have only two mites to put in, that you get others involved. It's the easiest thing in the world to put the pledge seat to the side and say, well, that's not the idea I'm going to be involved with, because I'd actually have to talk to somebody about this weak idea. But if you have two mites to put in, you're going to attract the attention of Jesus. I can't ask the people at work about this, really. What a perfect way to use something weak to start a discussion about your heart for missions, whether you're supporting it or going on it. I'm telling you, I used to put a thing at school every year, just send Goki overseas to my staff, and they put into a jar. It was silly. It was stupid. Send me overseas for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And they loved it. They loved that idea that they could learn about missions a little bit. They would ask me when I got back, so how was it? And I didn't have to go in and blast them. This is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be taking it to the nations. I'm going to preach in India. I didn't have to do that. Something small. And they were challenged enough with just, I'm going to be going on a mission. Would you sow in your two mites? And they would. Unbelievers would. Because people love commitment to something. They admire that. We have a commitment to the thing, the person, the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. They're going to admire that or despise that. And we're worried about the despising. They will despise me if I bring this up at work. If I offer them a pledge sheet, if I show this silly poster. I'm telling you, though, your two mites will attract Jesus to you. And that's what I'm wanting. More of Jesus for each of us. More getting the word out that we're involved in a crusade to save the world. We're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed to talk about certain topics with people. We're bold by his boldness. We're clear by him coming in and giving us the ability to talk with people. We start to talk, he will fill your mouth. Because he wants them also to respond to the one that we've responded to. So if it starts with something weak, let it be. Let it be. Rachel. This Rachel. We have two Rachels.
It's a couple Rachels here. So before we get to Saturday with the trashathon, This week we have some other things to consider, so if you can show the flyer up there. On Wednesday, we've invited the community in to come and intercede for anti-trafficking efforts in our area and things to arise. So come Wednesday noon, so it's 12 to 1, come bring your lunch and join in with that, invite people to that. And then also this Friday, we have we are also hosting a showing of the video Chosen, and it's an anti-trafficking video. It's being put on by PATHS, and the community is also invited to this, and it's been advertised around and about. So come and also bring, if you were sitting at Freedom Cry and you were thinking, wow, I wish that so-and-so, you know, knew of this information, or, you know, I wish someone was here with me. Well, here's your other opportunity. Bring them to Chosen. It's only 1 hour, so it's a good thing to invite people to. As you're raising money for the Tri-Trashathon, you know, here's your answer for everybody who says, well, why don't you do things around here? Why do you have to go overseas? Say, well, we are doing that as well. We come out on Friday. We have, you know, we're reaching out to the community this way. So you can hit two birds there with one stone. The Chosen movie is mostly focused on the testimony of a girl who was just beginning to be trafficked right out of high school. She was 18 or so, and how she explains how it happened and how she got saved out of that by a friend who intervened before she was about to be taken out of state, and a friend intervened. And so it shares what's happening with trafficking and some of the signs, but it also shares this girl's testimony and how you can be involved to help prevent someone from getting into that life. So it's a really good overall picture for people and even younger people to be able to learn about trafficking and learn how to help. So, and Jim Knight is the crime prevention specialist from the Starr County Prosecutor's Office. He's a speaker for PATHS as well, and he's going to be here and speaking after the film. So come. It's a short evening, but it will be powerful, and especially more powerful if you're here.
And then right after Chosen finishes, we'll have our Lighthouse Prayer, which is usually scheduled from 7 to 8:30, the third Friday of the month. So you can come for Chosen and then stay for prayer. We're definitely going to be praying against trafficking and anything else that the Lord would lead. Day, we love you. Be blessed. See you tonight at 7. And there's a